Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudice, doing nothing from partiality. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Paul does something he rarely does here. He quotes Jesus. Christ himself is the one who said in Matthew 10 and in Luke 10 that the worker is worthy of his hire. He said this as he sent his disciples out without much of their own provisions, telling them not to be afraid to remain in a person's house and to eat whatever they provide. I suppose you could say that the Lord commanded pastors to be moochers. But he added that they're not to go from one house to the next, sampling some sweet from each place, as they often do on Confirmation Sunday. The ministers who rule the church well, ruling specifically by teaching and preaching, and not just ruling, but actually working, laboring at it, these should receive his living from the gospel. It is sometimes way too easy for a preacher to preach this, taking advantage of this divine command to pay me more, give me a double salary, not double honor. But it is also sometimes too hard for a pastor to preach this, ashamed, as if he would appear self-serving in a ministry that is intended in all ways to be selfless. Jesus said, "Behold, I am among you as one who serves." The one who is greatest among you is the one who is the servant of all. Even St. Paul then is thankful to have another authority to cite. Jesus himself said it. And therefore, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, what follows this is very good advice in general, but it's utterly necessary for the person who rules in the church by the word of God. It is to be expected that charges will be brought against him, brought against such a laborer for Christ. A pastor is a sinner. He should be corrected then where he fails. It is possible to cover many weaknesses with love so that even those who rule just okay might have some honor from their sermons of straw. It is also, of course, possible that since he is placed into a position of ruling and honor, that he may be guilty of something that cannot stand at all in the fire, a violation of the public trust for which, by fire and repentance, he may yet be saved and forgiven, but he may not continue in this labor. But what Paul has in mind here is a third thing. It's also to be expected that false charges will come. This man is in the business of rebuking, sometimes even in the presence of all, to put fear into the rest of the congregation, rebuking the sins of particular sinners. Paul, of all people, wants this to be a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of the gospel, not of condemnation, finally. And yet, to that end, a pastor must be the one to preach and to teach the difficult sayings as well as the easy and cheerful sayings. If no one else in the congregation, in this group of saints that cares for one another, will call something out, then of course the pastor, the shepherd, the one who is a laborer, must not fail to say that the emperor has no clothes, or the parish matriarch, or the head elder's son, or whoever it is. And that makes him a ripe target for bitterness. It makes him a messenger to be shot. And so only those charges that are brought by credible, open, proper, and sufficient evidence ought to be admitted. Just because he will be like his master and will face slander and opposition does not mean, dear saints, that you have to throw your pastor away cheaply or falsely. But in the last place, St. Paul warns against partiality and prejudice. Prejudice is a very narrowly used term in our vocabulary today. But taken as it is together with partiality, it means something different. It means to curry favor with your actions by giving preferential treatment. It means to please the elites and to gain for yourself social credit, as well as to reinforce the low status of others in order to elevate your own. And for the pastor, this is the greatest of all temptations, the need to be liked and to be loved. How easy it is then for a preacher to become an ear itcher instead, to stand only and always in the presence of the people, and instead of rebuking sin to put them in fear of God, as he ought to be also, to stand in fear of their judgment. Rather than what Paul describes so dramatically here, that the pastor of all Christians is the one who is standing under the gaze of God, of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, under the gaze of the elect angels with their blazing swords and their fiery wings. A man who stands with that weight on his shoulders, aware of many more labors left undone than there are charges brought against him, and yet who does not give up, but continues in this labor. Such a man will be perpetually humbled. Such a man, then, will be worthy, as Paul says, of double honor. His ruling will not become like the ruling of a tyrant, but just as Paul says, in the preaching and the teaching of the very words of God, which, unlike him, are powerful. And dear saints, if you have such a pastor like that, you're going to want to keep him around. You're going to want to shield him from false accusations. You're going to want to be sure that he does not battle the lure of social capital by himself. And at the last day, he is going to receive the great honor when he hears, like we said in our hymn, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let him then also receive the small honor from your hand now. Not just food and wages, but especially let him receive from you the rapt attention to the noble and worthy preaching and teaching that he does. Let him see the fear of God in your eyes, not on account of him, but on account of the very presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels in whose presence he stands also as one of the Lord's elect ministers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we sing the Te Deum.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.